Sure, desire your prayers this morning. The Word of God is never to be taken lightly, but it's our roadmap to heaven. I want to follow it as close as I possibly can by the help of the Lord. I want to talk about something this morning. You've heard about it many times. We'll talk about something you can't see with your natural eyes unless you're standing outside and it's 30 degrees. You know what I'm talking about? Breath. We can't see our breath with our natural eye, but nevertheless, it's pretty important, isn't it? Paul said it's through him that we live and breathe and have our being. And the Lord is the one that gives us breath every moment of every day. I'm thankful for the breath of life, the breath that God has given us. I'd like to read a verse of scripture as we would like to mention a few things here this morning. It's found in Genesis, the second chapter. It's the very beginning of God creation to man. Genesis 2 and verse 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. When that happened, man was destined to live forever. The breath of life is something that you and I cannot see, but it's something, of course, that is absolutely necessary to sustain life, to sustain you and I in this life. I would like to incorporate a word. Some of you may be familiar with it. Some of you may be not familiar with it. But I wrote it up here in case you're not. The word is corporeal. Corporeal. I confess I had to look it up, examine it a little bit. The dictionary says corporeal means having or consisting of a physical body or a form. You and I are pretty good at seeing these physical bodies, aren't we? We can pick that out pretty good with our eyes. We see each other, the image that we are and who we are. And so you and I have a corporeal body. And that's the physical body that we have. But the scripture says the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground. That's the corporeal body. And then he went on and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It wasn't until God put himself within us that you and I had any ability to have any kind of animation, to have any kind of activity of life until God put himself within us. When he breathed into us the breath of life, we became a living soul. Now, the breath of life is what they call non-corporeal. It isn't something that has a physical body. It isn't something that you can see with your natural eyes. But oh, how important it is for you and I to be able to see it today. Another word for breath, when God breathed in them the breath of life and man became a living soul, what did he breathe in man? He breathed into him his spirit. Spirit and breath are interchangeable. Spirit is breath, breath is spirit in the Word of God and in your and my existence this morning. Man became a living soul when God put himself within you and I. I said some time back that when the heart of a little baby starts beating in its mother's womb, that child is set. Their life is set for eternity. From the beginning to the end, there really is an end to this corporeal body. We're going to lay this body down. The Bible says it's going to go back to the dust from which it came. But there's no end to this non-corporeal body, to what God has given us, the part of Him that you and I have this morning. There's no end to that. And it is going to live forever. It's the part of you, the soul of a man that's going to eternity. The soul of a man that will stand before Jesus at the judgment to give an account of the deeds done in this corporeal body. We're going to give an account of the deeds done, but we're going to be judged by what we do in this corporeal body, this natural body. But this natural body is going to go back to the dust from which it came. But it's the non-corporeal that I want us to be interested in this morning. I want to talk about the spirit of a man. Man became a living soul when the breath of life was breathed. Not until he formed him out of the ground. And he's just laying there. He had no ability to move. His heart wasn't beating. He couldn't do anything, couldn't say anything. Wasn't of any real use or any of real account. But when God put part of himself in that man, then that changed everything, didn't it? And it changes everything for you and I today. So I want us to consider about the breath of life a little bit this morning. Without turning to the scriptures, I want to remind us of some of them. The Bible says in John 4 and 24, it said God is a spirit. See, that's why he breathed in us, why he could breathe in you and I the breath of life. He's a spirit. And so he gave you and I a spirit. And Job said there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. It's how you and I can understand God's will and God's purpose for each and every one of us, because he gave us the spirit. And he is now able to communicate with us. And we're able to respond to his communication, because God is a spirit, which is non-corporeal. God doesn't have a physical body. The Bible said he's a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, doesn't it? Well, it tells us over in 1 John 4 and 8 that God is love. He's love. And it also says in 1 John 1 and 5, and he is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So the things of the attributes of God, they're non-corporeal. They don't really have a physical body that you and I can see. We can't see his spirit. We can't see his love with our natural eyes now. And we can't see the light of God with our natural eyes. But we can experience those things through the spirit that he has given you and I, because he breathed in us the breath of life. And I thank God for the breath of life today. God may not be physically seen, but he is seen in so many things around us, isn't he? We can marvel. That wife and I was going down the highway the other night, and there's a big billboard there, and it says there is evidence that there is a God. And it has a little baby there, a little newborn baby there in the picture. There is evidence, folks. If you don't want to choose to believe that, you have that choice. But I choose to believe there's evidence. I may not see him with my natural eye, but thank God this morning I can experience him through the very spirit, the very breath that he has breathed into my body. And into my heart and into my soul, I can see him. And I can experience him. And it's real, isn't it? We sing a song, there's a song that says, my God is real. It's real. There's a very strong response within mankind When God deals with him, when God talks to his heart, there's a very strong response that you and I can have towards God because he's given us his Spirit. And we communicate with him. We feel him. He may not be able to put his physical arms around me, but oh folks, how many times has he put his arms around us? He said he has us inscribed in the palm of his hand. He's got us inscribed right there in the palm of his hand. And I believe that this morning because I experience a closeness. I experience a relationship in a way that that he can come down in my heart, in my spirit, in my soul. And he can show me and teach me and lead me and guide me. And I feel the love and I feel the Spirit of God working and dwelling within me. It's wonderful this morning. And the poor old people out in our world today, they don't know how to respond to those kind of things. They don't feel those things because they're seeking after fleshly things, aren't they? I think about the scripture, and I'm going to turn over here to it because I want to get it right. It's in John, the third chapter, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. And he was talking about how that you and I can be filled with the Spirit. You know, when God made Adam and Eve, he breathed in them the breath of life. And he gave them his Spirit. But things changed when they disobeyed the Lord, didn't they? When they didn't keep his word, things changed for Adam and Eve. And therefore, it was put on all humanity that come down after them. Things changed in the heart of men. Man failed and he didn't keep the commandments of God, and things began to enter into his heart that God did not put there. And it didn't take very long for Adam and Eve and their children for murder to rise up, for all kinds of differences and problems that men have today. And we see a world today that's suffering all because of disobedience. All because of disobedience all the way back there. And when you and I are born into the world, folks, we were born with propensity to go out and do sin and to do things that are wrong. And we need someone, we need something that will come down within our heart, something that will be a force within us to cause us to do something that is right. And that's what the Spirit is. So Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. And my Bible, that word Spirit has a capital S. I believe that's God's Spirit. And when we're born of God's Spirit, he said, except we're born of it, we can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. But I thank God this morning. He made a way, didn't he? Even all the way back then, the Bible says it was preordained that his son would come and he would die for us. He still made a way. God knew the corruption of flesh. He knew the weakness of flesh, that corporeal man. He knew the weakness of it all. And God in his wisdom, isn't it wonderful? This isn't a fairy tale. This isn't just a story, folks. This is God's love manifested to mankind. God's love manifested to you and I. We went out into the world and did all kinds of awful things. But yet that fountain that we sang about this morning that was opened up in the Savior's side, folks. That blood that was shed for you and I, and God, we can't see with our natural eye, but oh, the Spirit of God that comes and flows in our hearts and in our lives and works within us and is a great force to lead us and to guide us into the truth. Jesus said that Spirit would come. It's important that I go away, that I might send the Spirit. See, the Spirit is very valuable and it's very important to us. And I know we've heard about it a lot. But oh folks, he even went on down here to tell him. He said in the 8th verse, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but can't tell where it cometh from. Oh, you ever been out into the woods or where there's a bunch of trees and the wind's blowing hard? You can hear the wind blowing through it. You can hear the wind, but you can't see it. It's non-corporeal, isn't it? It's invisible to the natural eye. And he said here, the wind bloweth where it listeth. And he said, thou hearest the sound, but can't tell where it comes from, whether it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. You didn't see the Spirit enter into your heart. You gave your heart and gave your life to the Lord. You didn't see it enter in. But folks, I still remember that night over 30 years ago now that I know that it happened. I know there was a change taking place. It's just like you might see the wind come along and pick up some patio furniture and blow it on down a few houses down the street. But you can't see the wind, but you can see the results of it. And God has given something to you and I today that we might not be able to see it with our natural eye, but we can see the result and what it does in the heart and the affairs and in the minds and the lives of men and women, the breath of life. Oh, I thank God for His breath this morning. I appreciate what it means to me. Let's turn over to John, the 16th chapter, and read some of the familiar texts that are over here. At least I hope they're familiar. They should be familiar to us. He said in the 16th chapter of John, He said, these things I've told you that when the time shall come, you remember that I told you of them. These things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asked me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled the heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you. Folks, this breath, this spirit is absolutely necessary for us. It is our communication. It's our gateway to God. From God to our heart, to who we really are, this soul that He has given us, the soul that He is going to live, that is going to live forever. It's the gateway to the soul, folks. The Spirit. It's expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I'll send Him unto you. And when He's come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Well, folks, you can rest assured that the Holy Spirit of God is reproving sin today. It's reproving this world. It is through the Spirit of God and the Spirit that He has put within us that He is able to convict us of our needs. That's how conviction comes. And it's through conviction that we should feel guilt because of our wrongdoings and how that we have stepped out of the will of God. It should be that way. It's through the Spirit how we see and understand the truth. It's through the Spirit. And every bit of this, folks, the reproof, the conviction and the communication and the illuminating ministry of the Holy Spirit is the foundation of our salvation. That's what salvation is. And it's all done through the Spirit of God. Through the Spirit of God. He said the sin. Sin means that the Holy Spirit reveals the need of redemption. It shows me my wrongs. It causes me to feel guilt. That's a hard thing to do today, isn't it? It's a hard thing to convince someone of their wrong and bring guilt upon their hearts when they are so sure that they are right and their hearts are so hard and settled and they refuse to accept the will of God and what God's purpose is for them. It's hard. Even God Himself will not force someone, will He? He said He will reprove the world of righteousness. Folks, that means that there is a possibility of salvation. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? There was a possibility. I didn't have to go on and live the way I was living. You didn't have to go on living the way you was living. God formed man and he breathed in him the breath of life, folks, and he sent his spirit. Even after men fell, many, many thousands of years ago, even after man fell, he still, through his spirit, can bring us back to that state of the way where he made man in the first place. He can still do that in his wisdom. And he does it through the Spirit with a capital S. And he went on to say, judgment. Judgment. The Holy Spirit reveals the reality of redemption. Lord, you mean I can be saved? You mean I can turn my life around? You mean I don't have to be guided by these spirits and these things that are in the world today? And I want to touch on that just a little bit. Folks, there's more than one spirit in this world. It's hard for people to deal with spirits. And I don't talk about spirits a whole lot. But I want to tell you, from the days of Cain rising up against Abel, from that day until this day, there's been a lot of spirits been turned loose in our world. And I've said this before, when our families across our country sit in their living rooms at night and turn on that idiot box sitting there in front of them, they're releasing spirits right into their homes. Right into their children. And if you don't believe me, talk to some of the little children that sit there and feast on that thing from night after night. They're releasing spirits. And those spirits have great power today. And those spirits are coming against God's people today, which makes it more and more imperative that you and I be filled with the Spirit. Paul said, walk in the Spirit that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's the only thing that's going to keep you from it. This flesh is weak. This flesh is corrupt. We must walk in the Spirit. We must live in the Spirit. We must have this connection, this illumination, this love, this light. We must have this Spirit from God in our hearts. It must be our desire. It must be our purpose. It's the only thing that's going to protect us. It's the only thing that's going to help us, folks, through this old dark world. The Holy Spirit. He said, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, however, Jesus is speaking these words to you and I this morning. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you and he will lead you into all truth. And I say it at probably every time I read this verse, there's no S on the end of it, is there? It's not truths. There's not a bunch of truths. One thing that I love it all, but one thing I love about the Word of God and what God has given you and I, he hasn't mixed it up with a bunch of possibilities. It's not a bunch of possibilities. There's not several truths that I can follow. If I truly have the Holy Spirit, he's going to lead me and guide me into all truth. And Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And I think he was talking about it last Sunday, folks. He's the door, and we're not going to get in there in any other way. Anyone that tries to come any other way is what? A thief and a robber. He's the door. He's the truth. He is the truth. And I believe he will lead and guide every one of us that has his Spirit and has a desire, a sincerity, and an honesty to follow him. He will lead us and guide us into the truth. He won't speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit, he's non-corporeal. We've established that. You can't see him with your natural eyes. Yet, he is equal with the Father and the Son. In essence, he's equal with them. But he's separate in person and submissive to the Father in his duties. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, folks, is God's family. It's the way that he relates to himself. And it's the way that he relates to you and I. From God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now I'm not teaching some kind of Catholic doctrine here. Don't take this wrong. But nevertheless, they are in relationship one to another. They are in submission one to another. Bible tells about Jesus submitting himself to the will of the Father, didn't he? And he humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. He submitted it all to God. Jesus was here to do one thing, and that was to glorify God and lift him up to a lost and a dying world by seeking and saving those that were lost. That's how he glorified the Father. Lord, help you and I to have that same burden, that we might glorify the Father. He's equal with the Father and the Son, but he's separate in person and submissive in his duties, submitting to the will of God. The Holy Spirit is able to lead you and I into the truth because he's part of God. He's part of God. God is truth. Jesus said, I'm truth. All the truth comes down from God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all truth. But yet there are so many other spirits that are in the world today, false spirits. False teachings, false doctrines, false evil spirits. The devil's a spirit, isn't he? Isn't he a spirit? I remember one of the old ministers saying, you know, the Lord every day, the Lord that's sitting on one shoulder and he bombarding you with the good thoughts, and the old other spirits sitting over on the other shoulder bombarding you with evil thoughts trying to get... Folks, you and I, we're in a battle. We're in a struggle for the sake of our souls. And we need the capital S Spirit of God, the breath of life in each and every one of us. It needs to be strong. And I'm convinced that we need to pray. The Lord will give us more of it. I've had people challenge me and say, how can you get more of it once you got it? I believe we've just barely tapped the depths. We have just barely tapped the depths of what God really has for mankind. And I believe I am asking God for more. I'm asking for more wisdom, for more presence, for more love, for more understanding, for more everything of God, folks. I can't see any of these things, Lord, with my natural eyes, but fill me through and through by your Spirit. It's the only way it's going to happen, folks. It isn't going to fall in your lap. It isn't just going to happen because you're a good moral person. But we need to seek God for more of His Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit. We all know what those are. That we might be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Let me move on here to the 14th chapter of the book of John. And I want to read three verses here. I believe it's 16th verse. Jesus speaking again. I pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Forever. That means beyond this life, doesn't it? This Spirit will be with us beyond this life, because man became a living soul through this Spirit. This breath that came from God. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, and he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Bible, Paul says in one place, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, maybe 2 Corinthians. He said he's the God of all comfort. And we can find comfort, folks, in the Holy Spirit. When those trials come, you know, sometimes we think, well, you know, we're pretty strong. We can handle this thing. Folks, we are so weak. And I'm going to just include us all in that. I know I am. I've proved that in my life in the past. We need God. And we need Him desperately. In every aspect of our life. Whatever it is we're dealing with. When we hear something. When we see something, when we go through experiences that are hard and difficult and we don't understand, Lord, what is going on? He knows, doesn't he? You believe he knows? There's no surprises to him. He knows what is going on, folks. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Even the old writer in the book of Psalms, God said, I will be a very present help in every time of trouble. Why do you think God said that? Because he knows we need him in all of our life, in all of our experiences. I said last Sunday, the new saying is life happens and life does happen. It happens to every one of us. Sometimes they're happy things, sometimes they're disappointing things. And many times we say, Lord, I don't understand. What would prompt a man like Dr. Dobson, which I've never read the book, but he wrote a book that says when God doesn't make sense. See, everybody knows things happen and we don't understand. The children of Israel didn't understand. Saints, got to say something right here. The children of Israel weren't satisfied with the manna. God was feeding them. He was taking care of them. But they weren't satisfied with the manna. They were loathing the manna. And they wanted some meat. And God said in his anger, you can go over and read it. In his anger, I'm going to send the meat, Moses. But he said, it's going to be, when it's in their mouth, it's going to be disgusting in their mouth. And then you go over to 106th chapter of Psalms and he said, they wanted this and they wanted that and I gave them everything they wanted, but I sent leanness. God sent. Did you see it with your natural eye? No, but God sent leanness to their souls. Craving something, always desiring something, never satisfied. Always wanting something else and always wanting something different. Folks, we need the Holy Spirit to keep us in line. We need the Holy Spirit to give us direction in life. I don't know of anybody in here or that I know that is so smart that they don't need the Holy Spirit for counsel and for guidance in their life. We need Him, folks. And we're still going to make mistakes. We're still going to mess up. But thank the Lord, there's always a place where God will meet us and we can get victory over those things. I'd like to turn over to 1 Corinthians, read a familiar text over here. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. It is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Thank you, Lord. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Folks, I'm afraid that we are living in a day of lethargy. We're living in a day of apathy. We're living in a day of laziness. People want $2 or $3 worth of God, just enough to feel good. Maybe get a little fire kindling. But they're not willing to seek God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, folks. The Spirit searcheth all things. The deep, do you want the deep things? You're going to have to search for them. The Spirit has them for you. God has them for you. But we're going to have to seek for it. We're going to have to seek for it. We've got to put a little work, a little effort in this thing. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, that we don't want, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are truly given to us of God. We don't have to take it from man. We don't have to take it from somebody else's opinions and ideas or thoughts. But I can get it straight from God. How many times have you taken your Bible when there's something you wanted to understand a little more fully and laid it open there beside your bed or wherever your secret closet is and asked God to show it to you? Folks, it'll work. It works. He'll do it. If you really want to know bad enough and he sees in your heart that you're really desiring more of him through the Spirit and you get down before him and say, Lord, search my heart, search my ways. I want to see you and understand you more fully. What does this verse of scripture mean? God will reveal it by his Spirit. I've had him do it many times. By his Spirit, folks. Thank God for his Spirit. This God of all comfort, You see, that's how we are illuminated. God is light. He's the light. In him there's no darkness. So we're illuminated by the Holy Spirit. We're inspired by the Holy Spirit. But the natural man can't understand those things. It says in verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. I don't know what all of your burdens are. But I know when I go to prayer many times, I'm asking the Lord to help us as a people not to lose our way. Not to lose our vision. Not to get so close to the world that it blinds us. Folks, these things are dangerous. These things are detrimental to our souls. Lord, help us to keep asking for the old paths. Help us to keep asking for the old ways. You know, I may have a message on it. I don't know if God's going to give me a message on it or not, but I've been thinking, you ever heard sometime somebody, you tell a child something and they don't do it, and pretty soon you tell them again, they say, I thought you were just kidding. God's not just kidding. I was praying the other day and I said, Lord, you're not kidding. When you say don't do it, you mean don't do it. He's not kidding. And then I went over there in the 55th chapter of Isaiah and it says, my word will not return unto me void, but it's going to accomplish what I please. And didn't he tell us over there in Hebrews or Corinthians where he said, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, God sent his word, tried to get him to understand, let my people go, and God hardened his heart. It will accomplish what I please when I send forth his word. How you and I respond and how we handle it, folks, is very, very important. Very important. I didn't know I was going to say all that this morning, but it's true. And it is a burden of mine that the Lord would help us. We say we're his people. We can put Church of God out there in the front lawn if you want to, but right here is where the church needs to be. The Spirit that dwelleth within you, that it doesn't lust to envy, that it doesn't lust to strive, that it doesn't lust to the things of the world, but it's the Spirit that God put in us. That's what makes us the church, folks. Individually, we all make up the church, don't we? What do we have within us? What spirit is it that is driving us? The natural man is unreceptive to the truth. Sometimes, or as he said here, it's foolishness unto him. Doesn't make sense. Folks, the Holy Spirit will help God make sense to you. It'll help the Word make sense to you. Once again, I want to say, God's not kidding when He says this and that and thus. You go back and read about the children of Israel and the times that God told them to stay away from the idols and their daughters not marry the people's sons and vice versa. And He told them to stay away from those things, and they went in and did it, and God sent the enemy in to destroy them. He's not kidding. It's my word. And when I send it forth, it will accomplish. It's going to accomplish one thing or another. It's going to cause us, if we have a heart open to God, and if we're humble before the Lord, it'll cause us to seek Him. It'll cause us to have a desire to want to draw closer to Him. It'll cause us to have a desire with a greater infilling of His Holy Spirit, that we might know how to follow Him and walk before Him. Or it'll harden us. I know since I've been a young boy, we've all heard about being gospel hardened. It'll harden us. Pharaoh got hard. But I'll say one thing. It causes me to fear and tremble when God says, it'll accomplish what I please. Now here's what I have to say. And I'm not kidding. I'm not just saying this to mess with you. I'm saying this for the sake of your souls. And it's going to accomplish something in your heart. What's it going to accomplish? How are you going to handle it? Oh, we need to keep this heart. We need to keep the soil so plowed up and so pliable and so tender that God can talk to us through His Word. Because the Word and the Spirit, the Bible tells, they agree. The Word and the Spirit works together. I don't know how the other ministers pray, but when I get down before the Lord, many times I say, Lord, reveal Yourself to me through Your Word by Your Spirit. And when that happens, and they're working together, it'll be right. It'll be right. When He reveals the Word by His Spirit, He'll do the same for each and every one of us, won't He? It'll be right. The natural man. Lord, help us this morning to understand we need the Spirit. The natural man doesn't even have the ability to sift the facts of what the Bible teaches. Because it takes the Spirit. We've got, our faith is founded on God's revelation to our hearts. That's how our faith is founded. And His revelation to our hearts. Now I want to turn over here, my last text, Lord willing, in John, 6th chapter. Poor old disciples didn't understand. Jesus said in verse 53, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. You know, I don't know how people decide altogether, what they choose to believe. I was reading what you and I might call a tract not long ago. It said 10 questions that are most asked to a Catholic. And then I read it. And you open it up and it talks about the different things that they teach. And one of them is, you know, when they take communion, the priest does his transubstantiation. They believe they're eating the body and drinking the blood of Jesus. You see, they have the same understanding that these fellows had right here. It said in the tract, That meant literally. That's what it said. They take it as a literal translation. Do you see why it's so important for you and I to have the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit won't tell you that. The Holy Spirit won't teach you that. Jesus wasn't talking literally here. He wanted them to say, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed, and he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Folks, we can eat of him and we can drink of him through the Spirit. And we can grow strong in him. And we can grow strong in grace. And we can have more power in our lives. Power to stand in these evil days. Power to stand against all the spirits that are out there coming against us today. We can have power to do those kind of things when we spiritually are investing ourselves of the body and the blood of Christ. Sure, he gave his body for us. He gave his life for us. He shed his blood for you and I. But folks, to me, I've been in trouble before. It's ludicrous to think that Jesus is telling you and I to eat his flesh, literally, and drink his blood. He's not talking about a corporeal body, is he? He's talking about a non-corporeal spirit. That's what Jesus is talking about here. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. And it says in verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Lord, help me understand the hard sayings of Christ. Help me to know how to understand them. Help me to know how to receive them. When they heard this, they said, it's a hard saying. Why, that would be a hard saying to me. It'd be real hard for me to accept it in the way that they were looking at it. When Jesus knew in himself his disciples murmured, he said, does this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. He went right ahead and told them, it isn't the flesh that prospers, folks. It isn't the flesh that profiteth anything. It isn't Jesus' flesh. If his body was here and we ate his flesh and we drank his, it wouldn't prosper you and I, in our spirits, in our souls. He breathed in us the breath of life and we became a living soul, a spiritual being. He said, the flesh, the spirit that quickeneth, it's the spirit that maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He told them. He explained it. The words that I speak of you, they're spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. Lord, help us today, folks. We're living as, who was it, Dickens? Started out a book, The Best of Times. And the worst of times. We're living in, Paul said, perilous times. Jesus came. This is what his purpose was for you and I. To bring and sustain spiritual life. That's what he came for. Sustain spiritual life. We have food for the body. Jesus said it'll be cast out into the draw. But Jesus came for a greater purpose, an eternal purpose for you and I, to sustain life, spiritual life. And those poor folks were thinking of their own physical body. That's what they were thinking of. Oh, I thank God this morning for the illumination, the light of God, for the Holy Spirit that teaches us. Folks, I don't want to be deceived. I do not want to be deceived. Down through the years, I've had older people, saints, come to me and say, "Brother Larry, I don't want to be deceived." I think that's one of the things that we must all be on our guards about. Because when Jesus began to answer the disciples' questions in the 24th chapter of Matthew, "Lord, when will these things be?" He said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." How can I do that? I believe I can do that. And I can know in my heart what is right. And I can know in my heart that what I'm following is right if I have His Spirit leading me, teaching me, guiding me within me. We need the breath of life, folks. And I thank God that He's made it possible. He's given it to us. May the Lord help us all. I appreciate your time, the opportunity to minister this morning.